VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 430, recorded on July 11th, 2016. Welcome to the 430th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 263rd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Palfin.
I am PJ Denzer.
And I am Scott Dirk.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, last week's podcast had Scott and Paul. The unfortunate part is that it was such a hash that it was impossible to edit. Which is unfortunate, there was some good stuff, but on the other hand, the news was boring anyway, and this week has much better news.
So you scrapped that episode?
Yeah, there was nothing salvageable about it. It was too disjointed, and it made no sense, and it was just not up to par, even with the poor standards we have, so just tossed in the garbage.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Jeez, I leave town for 1 week and everything just goes to, well...
Yeah. But, on the other hand, we have some really intense news this week. I mean, there's going to be... I'm pretty sure you two are going to have a lot to discuss about this stuff that's going on this week. But before we do that, what have you been playing, Scott?
I've been replaying a game, The Legend of Heroes, because I was... my save game got messed up. I don't know if it was because I migrated the game... onto Galaxy, or if it was Windows 10 that was the culprit, because I've been hearing that Windows 10 has been deleting people's like custom directories for some reason. So I don't know if it was Windows 10 or the moving it to Galaxy that I lost my save game, so I had to restart the whole thing. It's a pain.
Was this the reboot? Was this part one? Or
yeah.
Is that all?
Yeah, pretty much at the moment, yeah.
No Minecraft, no King's Quest?
Oh, there's always some Minecraft, yeah.
We always have a little bit of time for Minecraft, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, TJ, what have you been playing?
I've been revisiting a gym. They brought the... They brought the Warriors, Rockstar's The Warriors, from PS2 and Xbox over to PS4 this last week, and oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite 3D brawlers of all time. Plus, it's based off the 1979 film to a T, and it's wonderful.
I was wondering, did they use the actual actors like Michael Beck or?
They did. They got everyone who they could to reprise their role.
Well, now that I think about it, that shouldn't be too hard, because the biggest star to come out of that movie was Lynn Thigpen, and she only had a bit part as the DJ. Like Michael Beck said, you know, the Warriors started his career and Xanadu ended it.
Yeah, but that game is... Oh my god, it's so fantastic. They not only go through all the events that took place in the film, but they, like, go back before the events of the film to... Everything from Cleon and Geese forming the Warriors, and then they just go through a whole bunch of stuff that's like extended universe stuff, and I love it. It is a pure like 80s like B movie buff wet dream. It's wonderful, and then it's a good game to boot.
79,
like, well, close enough. It has that same feel, but. It's also just a good game to boot. Like, it has the best 3D brawling of any game I've ever played, like that. Just, like, the way they set it up, like, the punches, the kicks, everything just feels so impactful, and it's awesome.
Until the baseball furies come with their baseball bats. So, I've been playing Red Dead Redemption. I've also played a little bit of Pokemon Go, not much. Oh, there was another game that I was playing a lot of. Oh, yeah, I was also playing the Steam version of Burnout Paradise. And, you know, it made me realize I really want another Burnout, a real Burnout. you know that burnout feel when your ram car's from behind and you just slam them into the wall. She gives you that slow-mo show of the crash.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he gives you that. Oh, I also want Blur. I want Blur back, too, by the same guys, you know. But Red Dead Redemption, I'd forgotten what a craptastic save system they had. It really makes you want to put her out. Other than that, it's really, really good. And it's also the subject of one of our news items. But first, have you guys heard about this controversy has been raging around the nerd interwebs for the past week and a half, or maybe 2 weeks. And, it makes me giggle a little bit because it's basically caveat emptor, but there are some points to it. And now we're getting a little bit of a larger picture issue with it. So we're going to go straight to our first news item. Valve's Counter-Strike illegal gambling controversy continues, and this comes to us from Polygon. Valve is now the center of multiple lawsuits thanks to the controversy swarming around Counter-Strike Global Offensive, otherwise known as CSGO. Players are turning a profit through trading and selling skins. The money earned can then go towards betting on third-party gambling sites. On top of that, a scandal involving two prominent CSGO YouTubers owning and promoting one of these sites has recently surfaced. Valve's public silence while privately helping gambling sites operate in the Steam marketplace is unconscionable, said one of the lawyers, according to a lawyer representing the player suing the game developer over quote-unquote illegal gambling. Jasper Ward is representing the player. He is also one of the lawyers representing another player, this one underage, who filed a second suit against Valve about a week later. In both cases, Valve is being accused of deliberately allowing the creation of a market where players and third parties trade weapon skins like casino chips. The lawsuits accuse Valve and third-party sites like CSGO Diamonds, CSGO Lounge, and OP Skins of allowing millions of Americans to link their individual Steam accounts to websites to allow players to gamble with their CSGO weapon skins. Ward says Valve, quote, created and is profiting from an online gambling ecosystem that, because it is illegal and unregulated, harms consumers, many of whom are teenagers. Parents don't know this is going on and can't talk to their kids about it because the gambling chips are called skins, and it seems like just another in-game purchase. Valve is like the bar owner who lets people set up roulette wheels and a blackjack tables in the back, sells chips to teenagers on the way in the door, then makes people cash out at the pawn shop across the street. Oh, and it also created a new game it owns on which those game kids can gamble, then lets the bookies take bets on it in the corner booth. The fact that it's Valve's server and software instead of a bar and Steam's API instead of a physical roulette wheel, and international websites like OPS Skins instead of a pawn shop and a lounge instead of a bookie in the corner booth, doesn't change what Valve is doing. It created a gambling ecosystem out of thin air, and its customers are getting scammed and losing money on rigged websites as a result. The CSGO Lotto site was temporarily blocked by Steam and then unblocked. And the Lotto site is the one which the two YouTubers got busted for. Mm-hmm. The Lotto scandal is a perfect example of how Valve has created harms. The Lotto scandal is a perfect example of how what Valve has created harms consumers. That, and combined with a quote from an anonymous Valve employee in the Daily Dot article talking about how there are rigged roulette sites in Russia, should help shed light on skins gambling issues, the position it is putting Valve's customers in of being subject to scams, and prompt some sort of action from Valve. Valve's decision to unblock Lotto after this is mind-boggling, and I'm looking forward to getting answers from Valve's key decision makers on that. You want to guess that they've responded yet? If you answered no, you're right. or even a quote on record from someone. Yeah, good luck with that. I'll let you I want to let you guys vent a bit.
What a mess.
To say the least.
And, oh my God, like, I can't even figure out how much Valve knew about this before it got out of hand.
Let me ask you a question before. Did either of you know about the CSGO Lotto story?
Yeah.
I had seen a YouTube video about this, but I wasn't aware that this was going on. I don't play Counter-Strike, but it seems really... I mean, this kind of crap is just, the kind of thing that I hated, this profiteering off of custom content, and just it's just ridiculous.
So TJ, paint the picture of what these CSGO Lotto guys were doing. And well, this new word to the, this brings new meaning to the word shill.
I mean, it's basically money laundering, isn't it?
I mean, what these two guys were doing, they were going on, and they had 10 million subscribers combined. And they would go on to CSGO Lotto and say, oh, I'm going to do this, and act like they were visiting a site that they did not own. Say, oh, look, I won!
Oh, my God.
It was so shameless.
So it was like advertisement, like some weird-ass mafioso walking up to a table and throwing down a chip and be like, oh, man, I won $10,000, and you can, too.
Well, I mean, I think you might want to use a thing of three-card Monty, in which you'll have someone win, and then the person does three cards. They're shocked that they can't win. Keep going, because I'll lay my two cents in a second. But we have to talk about the fact that these are underage kids too. We're talking about mostly.
Underage kids are running most of this?
No, they're being fleeced by this.
Oh, this is both a perfect example of a company just completely ignoring a problem as it just spins out of control and becomes a hurricane of I don't even...
See, that's the thing.
They must think it's not their problem somehow.
That's the way that Valve has approached most of their stuff with Steam. Whether it comes to the Steam Greenlight or Steam Marketplace, that is exactly the idea that they've approached most of this stuff with, and this is a perfect example of, like, the worst possible scenario coming back to them.
Now, Steam Greenlight, now, we have to explain that a little bit. They've, apparently, the controversy surrounding Steam Greenlight is that they've found a way to, people have been artificially bumping up games. They're total crap, you know, and there was this other controversy with this developer, I forgot the name of it, and they were reusing the games were unfinished and really terrible, but they were able to spam enough positive yes votes so that they would rise to the cream of the crop. So basically these really awful games, and some of them, and the owners of these games, some of them were outright bigots, like this Australian fellow.
That reminds me of Vote for the Worst. There was this website that would vote for the worst American Idol just to keep really bad singers on and keep going. Seems like that sort of thing.
That's how William Hung came into our lives.
Yeah.
But no, it isn't Vote for the Worst. This is mostly because I know a few PR people, not PR people, but content managers, who are real people, you know, who are, and their entire job is to get people to notice these indie games, because you know how this market, you know, is so crowded. I mean, trying to find indie games, you know, just to get noticed. I mean, it's almost impossible on iOS. You know, it's a little bit easier on Steam Greenlight, but here these people are gaming the Steam Greenlight to get their games bumped up, and they are absolute trash.
Yeah.
I think it was a subject of the Gymquisition. So if you want to just look up Greenlight and Gymquisition and recent thing in the past month, you'll probably get it. But getting back to the... Okay, go ahead.
This is what happens when Steam takes this approach of just leaving their hands off of it so much and claiming that it's not their problem so much that people run rampant with it. People take that freedom and they do what they're going to do with it, which is ruin it. You can't give people this much freedom when it comes to your product. I know that everyone wants to have, like, all the liberties and all the licenses and all the DRM-free content possible, and I'm not saying that there isn't something wrong with that. I am saying that there has to be limits somewhere, and this is what happens when you don't impose those limits.
Well, we also have to discuss Valve's use of Luxembourg laws to get around, you know, fair use and all that stuff, you know, in terms of, you know, because now countries are passing laws in which you know, refund laws and all that stuff, and Valve is clinging, well, we're going to use Luxembourg's laws, so we don't have to do that. You know, they're picking which laws to use to govern their site, you know.
And society isn't... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Society isn't equipped to deal with this. The generation gap is not equipped to deal with this, because like it said in the article, it's not chips, it's not cash money, it's not anything like that that you can just explain as don't do this because it's wrong for this reason. It's skins, it's in-game purchases, it's microtransactions, which is so much harder to tell somebody don't ever do that again if it's something that can be used in other games and is perfectly harmless, and then here it's a terrible, terrible thing that can be used to ruin you.
Once you assign a monetary value to something, something that can be sold for real money, it's no longer DLC, you know, and now it becomes gambling.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. We've had gambling with kids for a very long time. Don't tell me that baseball cards aren't gambling. Every kid is trying to get that foil card of their favorite, of a rookie that they think is going to be worth $10,000 sometime in the future. That is gambling. Yet Topps has managed to skirt that issue, you know? So it's very hard to show what is gambling and what is not.
I guess buying a pack of cards, though, is relatively low-key compared to this, though.
Yeah, but you're having kids selling out, $2 for 8 cards, and they're not doing it for just anybody. They're gambling, is it going to contain this, you know? I mean, when you get to stuff like, let's talk about rare, rare Lego, not Lego. Oh, damn it. What was...
I wish I hadn't gotten rid of my Legos. Those are still worth something.
Everybody's looking for the gold Skylanders figurines and the platinum
ones.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, it's almost gambling, you know, because you don't know what you're getting. And baseball cards, you know, you actually place a monetary value in it. You know, you do have these card guides, right, which show you how much each card is worth. So yeah, it is gambling, but the problem is that with this, it's more blatant, it's more obvious, because you're literally betting stuff and then getting money for that stuff.
There's also the problem of transference. I mean, with all of those things you described, like cards and figures, there has to be a physical trade at some point. With this, it's so much harder to track because it's literally digital merchandise moving back and forth at an extremely quick rate.
Stuff could just disappear at any point. It's very ephemeral. They could just delete it at some point if they wanted. And then,
I'm surprised,
you know, where's your money? It just went poof.
You know, I'm surprised they're not doing all this in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's that sleazy.
But so, like, the fluidity of this is just astronomical. Like, yeah, Scott has a point. If it just disappeared, people would be ruined.
Here's the thing, you know, Valve doesn't care also because it's telling them that CSGO is very popular. Because these are just fucking weapon skins. They do nothing. They do absolutely nothing except change what your gun looks like. That's it.
They release a certain set of chemicals in your brain that tell you whether you like it or not.
You're talking about endorphins?
So, yeah, I mean, there's just so much. It's going to be interesting. See, here's the thing. All this shit is going around Valve. At some point, they're going to pay the price on any number of fronts. This is just the latest scandal right now. And by the way, don't think Microsoft isn't giggling right now, because they have a competing store, quote unquote competing. It's not competing really, because, you know, Steam is still on Windows. But, you know, Microsoft is basically, their hands are clean of this stuff, at least in this arena.
If I was Microsoft or GOG right now, I would be rubbing my hands together and twiddling my mustache.
Oh,
happily.
GOG definitely is. GOG's, like I was just talking about before, GOG's Galaxy browser is trying to be exactly what Steam's browser is. Did you guys know that apparently they are allowing you to say, if you own a game on Steam, and the game's creator agrees with it, you can now own that game on GOG. That your ownership will transfer, but only on certain select games at the moment.
You know, this is a pretty much of a pattern going on here, right? I mean, Microsoft is doing the same thing with Windows 10 and Xbox One games. Mm-hmm. PS4 and Steam have been hand-in-hand for a while, too.
The iron is hot and the writing's on the wall. It might, like, if you have most of your stuff on Steam, like, it might not be a bad idea to start moving that stuff elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm talking about platform agnosticism, you know, in which at some point, maybe in the future, maybe 20 years from now, if you own Mass Effect 7 on one system, it's good for all of them. Every platform, every PC, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that's what's coming. That's what's next. You know, and I'm pretty sure Microsoft would love that.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
All roads go back to Windows.
Yeah. They would love that.
Yeah. Although I can't imagine convincing Sony and Nintendo to do that, actually, now that I think about it. That's a hard sell for them. Especially Nintendo.
Well, especially Sony, because they have no reason to. They're doing perfectly fine.
No, well, here's the thing. A lot of Sony owners I know look at EA Access and sigh. Because they know that they would have that if only Sony would say yes. $30 a year and you get a library of free EA games and early access to EA games and at a discount and all your saves carry over.
I thought that's what PlayStation Plus was.
No, PlayStation Plus is an overcharged rental system.
Mm.
No, you're thinking of PlayStation Now. PlayStation Plus is
something different. It's like Xbox Live, except they're a little bit more free with giving away free stuff on it, although Microsoft's getting better at it. You know, I mean, see, PlayStation Plus was a response to Xbox Live Gold, right?
Right.
And they did not understand how much money Microsoft was making from Xbox Live Gold. They said, wait a minute, people are willing to pay $60 a year just to play multiplayer? And while we were giving away multiplayer for free, we can't have that. Okay, so we're going to have people do it on us, but we have to sweeten the pot, so we have to make a lot of games free so that people will say, hey, PlayStation Plus is a really good value.
Yeah,
PlayStation Plus, though. I don't know if they've changed it or not, but if you opt out of PlayStation Plus, you lose the free games that you got under them.
Oh, yeah. That does.
So I don't know. I've never gone without a PlayStation Plus, so I can't confirm that.
Well, I mean, if you're committed to PlayStation Plus, it's not a worry. But if you decide, you know, I can't afford it right now, kiss those games goodbye.
That's interesting. I don't know if I've never. I think I went without it for like a week, and I don't think I ever noticed if I couldn't get into the games that I had because of Plus.
Yeah. But you know.
Does the same thing happen with games with gold?
No. Once you get it, it's yours forever.
Huh.
I know that because I actually let my gold lapse for a month by accident. Because I wasn't playing online, so it's like I didn't notice. And then there was a free thing on gold. So, oh, shit, I forgot to get my gold back up. And I never lost the stuff that I got under gold.
I'm going to have to, like, let my PlayStation Plus run out. I'm going to have to let my PlayStation subscription run out sometime.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can check the fine print. I'm pretty sure it's there. I mean, that was, by the way, keep in mind, this is when PlayStation Plus launched. And that was like, what, 3 years ago? I don't know if their policy changed. So, it could be different now. I don't think it is. And like I said, I don't think many people notice because when you do something for a year, you basically say, oh, I have to renew. Okay, fine, I'll renew.
Okay. Whatever. Well, I'm going to keep this in mind, and when my PlayStation runs out, I'm going to come back and either tell you you're wrong or complain about it later.
All my games are gone!
All my games are gone! don't tell me you got all your games from PlayStation Plus.
Of course not, no.
But some of them might disappear. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But, no, I'm thinking about it.
Hey, they'll just say, you gotta have PlayStation Plus to play.
There are some pretty important games on my system that I got from PlayStation Plus. I got Transistor on PlayStation Plus.
Only the free games. if you got a discount on PlayStation Plus, they don't go away.
No. That's what I was saying. Is I got Transistor for free from PlayStation Plus, and I love that game.
That might go away, yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, I've also, of the older games, I also been playing, you just remind me, on one game that shockingly became, was it called backwards compatible that I owned, was Go Go Break Steady.
Oh, yeah. I saw you post about that.
That game is basically Boom Boom Rocket meets Zuma.
That sounds hectic and colorful and wonderful.
It's okay. On the really hard parts, when it gets really hard, it's almost impossible to clear a level because I don't get I don't get the feedback that I get from other games, right? Oh, I hope they do. You know, Boom Boom Rocket is not backwards compatible yet. Damn it! I want to play that again. That was a great game.
Are you talking about Boom Boom or Choo Choo Rocket? I know Choo Choo Rocket.
Boom Boom Rocket is Dance Dance Revolution, but with fireworks and just the controller. Although you could use a dance pad if you wanted to.
Huh.
Although it doesn't make sense because on a dance pad you have the arrows. Here it just has the letters, and you know it's kind of hard to translate in your brain what it is really. I guess A, B, X, Y. But it did all these Hooked on Classics stuff. You know, really fast-paced techno versions of classical music, like Beethoven and Chopin, and it was awesome. It was basically the cheesy Hooked on stuff that you'd see at 4th of July. That's another reason they should have had it ready for 4th of July. Damn it! They should have Boom Boom Rocket on 4th of July. You know what? Go to YouTube, check out a video of it. Some of the music is really, really good, and it had a co-op mode that was really good too. So, you know, speaking of backwards compatibility, we might as well move right on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Red Dead Redemption sales jumped 6,000% after Xbox One backwards compatibility announcement from GameSpot. Sales of Red Dead Redemption and Red Dead Redemption Game of the Year Edition on Xbox 360 have skyrocketed since the announcement that Rockstar's acclaimed open-world game will be playable on Xbox One through backwards compatibility. Amazon's Movers and Shakers list, which tracks sales rankings and notes increases, lists a 6,329% rise for Red Dead Redemption and currently lists it as the 17th most popular video game on the site. It was previously at number 1,093. The Game of the Year edition, which includes the Undead Nightmare expansion, has increased by 1,877% and is currently the 36th most popular game, previously being number 712. Keep in mind, however, that these percentage increases don't indicate the game's exact increase in unit sales, as pointed out by industry analyst Zhuge EX on Twitter. The percentage reflects the increase in rank. By jumping more than 1,000 spots, Red Dead Redemption has seen a 6,000% plus increase in the sales rankings on Amazon, not a 6,000% increase in unit sales.
Now, you know, you have to remember that Undead Nightmare was also a standalone release.
Yeah.
So it's not counting sales of it. See, the Game of the Year edition includes it. And those people who had Red Dead Redemption may buy it, the expansion online, which you can still do. The Xbox 360 marketplace is still there. And I'm wondering if the Undead Nightmare is for people who already own it and just say, hey, you know what? I might as well get it for $3.
Yeah.
You know, because that's basically what they cost, from $1.50 in brick and mortar to $7.50, at the most $7.50 if you buy it digitally from the marketplace, if I remember correctly. So the main deal about this is that this is sending a big message to third-party publishers and saying, old games sell.
Yeah.
Old games will sell.
Hey, I'm right there with it. I bought the Warriors as soon as it came out.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, this is just evidence to me that backwards compatibility is still a good thing for a lot of people that want to play some of these older games.
Yeah, and the thing is that a lot of these people did not have Red Dead Redemption when they first, you know, when they first played it, and they said, you know what? This sounds like an interesting game. It's $3 in my GameStop. Let me try it out. You know?
Yeah.
And those who already own the game, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? We played this 4 years ago. Let's play it again. The mistake I made was I didn't stick it in my 360, because then it would have registered my saves onto the cloud, and then it would have taken the saves from the cloud and put it in my Xbox One version. But I said, whatever, I'll just play it from scratch.
Probably not a bad idea. You get to experience the whole thing again.
Yeah, especially Seth. One of the weirdest, most disturbing characters in video game history. He loves the dead, and I don't mean in a necrophiliac sort of way. He prefers dead people because live people are heartless and soulless, and dead people are also heartless and soulless, but they're not lying about it. And in Undead Nightmare, they like him back. The zombies don't attack him. He dances and parties with them. Which makes sense. But the only thing that made me think is, hey, Electronic Arts, you see what's happening? Okay, fucking release Mass Effect 2 and 3 now, please. I'm tired of waiting. You saw what happened to Red Dead Redemption. That's what I'm thinking, you know? You see what happens to Red Dead Redemption. You think people aren't going to buy it? Of course they're going to buy it. And people will buy it digitally as well. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Red Dead Redemption that was bought straight from the marketplace.
I mean, I feel like not everyone keeps their old games in pristine condition. If you're like me, like, I'm sure that I had a copy of Red Dead Redemption sitting around my old house somewhere, but I have no idea where to find it, and I certainly don't feel like going to look for it.
That's why I bought Alpha Protocol on Steam for $2, even though I had two copies of the game. I said, fuck it.
I agree no more with TJ. I've had some games where I've lost them, or they got broken, or, you know, they just don't work on current operating system, and so it's good to have a digital copy of it.
That was kind of what happened to me with the Warriors. I had it, my buddy had it on Xbox, my cousin had it on Xbox, and we'd play it all the time, and then we moved up to Xbox 360, and guess what? The Warriors is one of those games that does not work on Xbox 360.
That's exactly what I've been going on about.
And, like, when I saw that it came out, I was like, oh my god! Yes!
Yeah, go ahead.
Because some of those games didn't work on new systems, and some of them are things that you just... Time changes things, you move around, and dust gathers, and old stuff gets thrown out, and... What are you going to do? Except for if it comes out digital, or it becomes backwards compatible.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, not everything is going to be, because you're not going to see Elder Scrolls V Skyrim on Xbox backwards compatibility, because even though it's the number two, after Red Dead Redemption is the number two requested, Bethesda's coming out with the remastered version for PS4, yeah. So you're not going to see that. But for a game, you know, if Rockstar says, you know, and here's the thing, Microsoft has the conversion software for anybody who wants to use it. Anybody can convert their game with almost no effort, which is how they did Red Dead Redemption. And all you need is that, you know. So the thing is, it's all about, do you want to put it on backwards compatibility? Microsoft's been putting all their first-party stuff, obviously, on backwards compatibility. That's why I completed Mass Effect last week, you know. Because I know at some point, I'm hoping, well, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, that EA is going to release Mass Effect 2 and 3, you know. Even though I have it, even though I can play it on 360, I just want to do it all on one console. Thank you very much, you know.
I mean, if their people are smart and they're reading the news and they remember that they like money, then they will.
Like I said, this the sales of new copies of Red Dead Redemption. Remember, this is not people taking their old copies of Red Dead Redemption and popping them in. No, these are people who are buying it for the first time, or maybe they're just buying copies and they, you know, they tossed out and they want it back, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so people are buying fresh new copies of this game, you know, and even though they're not going to see as much, I'm pretty sure there are digital sales of Red Dead Redemption that Rockstar's seeing money from. And oh, by the way, Rockstar, Red Dead Redemption also is a part of the Social Club.
So yeah. It's another way, yeah, it for is. Them
to people in, you know. And the funny thing is, I started getting new achievements because I've been doing stuff I didn't do the first time around. like I want to get I got a ringer in horseshoes. I never played horseshoes in the, when I first played it, but since I was going after the suit, I got a ringer. I got an achievement, and you know what? It was so nice to have the 360 version of the achievement pop up. I missed that. You know what? If Microsoft was smart, they would allow you to toggle between the 360 pop up and the Xbox One pop up, because I missed that. You know, I missed that. I mean, the achievement pop up that comes up now is like, okay. The 360 achievement pop up is so crisp and loud and just makes you say, hey, you got an achievement. The other one, this one says, oh, by the way, you got an achievement.
You're missing your Bell Pavlov. Is that it?
Not quite. I think it's just better designed and more colorful. You know, it's not as ingrained into the general dashboard. You know, it's like it just pops up. It's more prominent. And I guess there is a bit of that. You know, but the thing I associate most of that pop up is also the Crackdown orb. You know, those two things are both intertwined in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say in the other E3 podcast, when I was at the Xbox press conference, at the end, they did a flash of Crackdown 3, which told me that whatever they were going to show of Crackdown 3 at the conference, it wasn't ready yet, so they dropped it at last second, which is disappointing. I mean, there's a lot of people who are really hungering for some Crackdown 3, you know, willing to overlook Crackdown 2. I didn't play much of it. I only played the demo, but it was a shit show.
I bet.
So, I mean, Crackdown 1 was unfinished. It felt unfinished. It felt like the germ of a great game. Crackdown 2 failed. You know, and the thing is, they didn't use the same developer for Crackdown 2. Because Crackdown 1 was done by the guy who invented Grand Theft Auto. Oh, jeez, I forgot his name. David Jones? Or something like that. So, yeah, I mean... Crackdown 3, baby. Anyways,
speaking of E3 stuff, supposedly the Resident Evil 7 demo drops on PS4 Marketplace tonight. So I'm gonna check that out.
And what they dropped was the same demo that they did. Oh, what was the name of that two-letter demo again? TK. I can't believe I forgot it. You know, the horror game that influenced a lot of other games, but E.T. Who knows that? What?
E.T.
Yeah. So, yeah, they basically re-released that.
That's what I mean.
You know, it worked. I mean, you know.
I'm willing to give it a look. If they're saying that they're going to make Resident Evil scary again, then I'll bite.
By the way, Yahtzee said something that I said at E3. When I was at Bethesda, when I saw what they were doing with Quake, I said, yeah, they're doing Overwatch. They're turning Quake into Overwatch.
Quake?
Which I thought was kind of cheap.
I don't know about that.
Yes, it is Overwatch. They're basically making it of Overwatch, yes.
Well, I mean, Overwatch is Team Fortress, and Team Fortress is if you want to trace it back, Overwatch is Team Fortress 2, and Team Fortress 2 is Unreal Tournament, and Unreal Tournament is Quake Arena.
And all shooters are Doom, we get it, okay? Actually, if you really wanted to say it would be all shooters are Castle Wolfenstein, but, you know. Anyways, see, you made me miss my train of thought on this other E3 thing. I remember. Damn it. Anyways, we'll move on to the third item. Go ahead, Scott.
Alrighty then. Third item is Pokemon Go raises security concerns among Google users. This is from Polygon. Pokemon Go is the subject of security concerns. It should be also safety concerns, but going on. As Google users discover that the game has full access to their accounts. A Tumblr post by Adam Reeve, who works for a security analytics firm, raised attention to the level of account permissions the game has by default, revealing that players who sign in through Google grant Pokemon Go developer Niantic Labs access into the entirety of their account data. While when launching the game, players can choose to either sign in through Google, the previous owner of Niantic Labs, or through Pokemon Trainer Club. The latter site has currently suspended new account registration, leading many to choose logging in with their Google accounts. Yet doing so doesn't prompt a pop-up indicating the information that Niantic Labs will have access to through this method. Instead, it loads up the game without giving the user a chance to edit permissions. Looking at the security permissions tied to Pokemon Go player's account shows that the game has full account access automatically. For iOS users, there's no update option to edit these permissions. The only option is to revoke access entirely. For people playing on Android, the game doesn't show up under Google account security permissions at all. The Google Play Store includes a list of information Pokemon may have access to, however, including accounts on the device and full network access. When you grant full account access, the application can see and modify nearly all information in your Google account, according to Google's help page. This full account access privilege should only be granted to applications you fully trust and which are installed on your personal computer, phone, or tablet. In the game's privacy policy, Niantic Labs details what much of this information it collects will be used for. We collect certain information that your or unauthorized child's mobile device sends when you or authorized child use our services, like a device identifier, user settings, and operating system of your or authorized child's device, as well as information about use of services while using the mobile device. The mobile reads, "We may use this information to provide the services and to improve and personalize our services for you or authorized child." Pokemon companies, service providers, and other third parties. Players can email Niantic Labs to modify and rescind their consent to the information being shared between the sources, but in doing so may lose access to elements of the game. There's also safety issues, because apparently people are driving and playing this and going into unauthorized places that they shouldn't be going into, because apparently it's like everybody's lost their damn mind about this stupid game.
People are getting mugged, because what happens is they send down a lure. These predators send down a lure, and people go to the lure, and they get mugged, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
So they can actually alter the information on your phone. Gee, I'm glad they'll never get hacked.
Oh, yeah.
No one ever gets hacked.
That'll probably be the next thing.
I mean, yeah, having all of your information and allowing it to be edited? Changed? Really?
Yeah, this is actually quite relevant, because like a week ago or so, I noticed I was having a conversation with my wife on my phone, and suddenly the phone asked me, "Do you want an Uber to pick you up?" And I'm like, "I never put this on my phone. Why is it asking me if I want Uber?" So I can only imagine the nightmare of having that program on and just basically leaving a big-ass door into your computer and systems is just not a good idea.
I also love the language, your child's tablet, your child. Yeah, because only children will play Pokemon Go, right?
Well, they put authorized child, so they're...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, all of this data collecting is to protect you from child predators. Sure.
Pokemon Go, the greatest phishing scam ever invented.
Yeah, it is. Will.
But, it is amazing. Like, who knew that Pokemon Go was going to take off that hard?
I didn't think Pokemon itself was going to be this freaking popular and long-running. It's been ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing. I try to play Pokemon Go. It tells me, servers are all clogged up. Sorry. Can't play. Not that it's a particularly a difficult game to play. It's almost how some say Pokemon is dumbed down. Well, this is the dumbed down version of dumbed down Pokemon.
There's already a joke, a Star Trek joke about the game. I remember that episode that you apparently hate so much. that people are referencing. Even Will Wheaton referenced it and said, I warned you back in the 90s, nobody listened, so now you better hope Data Brent Spiner comes to save you.
No, he's too busy regurgitating in Independence Day.
Yeah.
but suffice to say, people still remember that episode, and they see the relevancy of this game, apparently.
I mean, aside from the fact that you have a company that has total access over your cell phone, you know, companies like this haven't shown they're very good at security, you know? So, here's the thing. If they want only children to play it, they're going to find themselves having only children playing it if they don't remove this. And the thing is, the game, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is free to play. It runs entirely on microtransactions. So a game that requires microtransactions and has complete control of your cell phone while you're logged into it, that has a lot of other problems there, too.
Yeah, because like the Google account itself has been coming very just like they want to add your YouTube account in there, or it is in there actually, and they want like all your stuff in one place, and then now this game wants full access to it. I don't think so.
Oh, it gets even better. Remember, Google also takes all your contacts too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So take control of it is going to have all your contacts as well. All their phone numbers, all their email addresses.
Yeah, I got people's numbers that I thought I befriended on Facebook. I don't know how I still have their damn... That just baffles me.
Oh, well, the same thing happens on LinkedIn. I mean, you know, you may unfriend them on Facebook, but they're still there in another social net. Facebook is another social networking thing, but, you know, at least I'm not scared of anybody hacking Facebook.
Yeah.
Because at least they have some idea of how to deal with... See, that's the problem I have with, and this is not racist, Japanese developers and companies. They don't seem to get online very well for the most part. And maybe it's just, you know, mobile gets it a little, you know, the mobile developers do get it.
I think that's because of the current hierarchy of the CEOs that they have there, that maybe they're too old-fashioned in some ways.
Yeah, they're still using dial-up.
Yeah.
All I know is that I don't need no third-party company having access to my Google search history, because I get bored and I wander. And
you don't need nobody watching you wander around.
See, that's going to be the question of the week, just so you know.
I'm not going to implicate... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not going to give them everything. I'm going to give them a little bit. My name, my email, you know, basic shit that lets them know who I am. They don't need to know what's on my... See, they're accessing my photos. They're accessing everything on your phone, apparently.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that if a person got porn ads from Pokemon Go for a personalized service, that would be weird.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it isn't. That isn't what worries me. It's that all your friends in your contact list get that porn. Then guess whose fault it is? Guess who they're gonna look. Hey, how did I get all these Grindr ads?
I know sometimes the companies want to collect computer spec information, like what system you have, but usually they ask you for that kind of thing.
Well, Valve does that. Yeah, they have that annual thing as, hey, can we check out what your computer does?
Yeah, so they can gauge what level of, you know, they make their software to. Yeah.
I mean, I do that because, you know, that I'm telling them, listen, you know, this is what my computer can do. You know, this is there are still some of us who are at this level of computing, although mine is actually still pretty high middle end still. I mean, it's an 8-core, so. But, you know, I know there's a lot of people there with low-end machines who are going to say, you know, I'm still running on Windows 8, I'm, you know, or Windows 7 or whatever.
Or Windows XP and, for Paul.
Or, you know, so don't leave me out in your games. Although I don't think that's really... The indie fad has become so huge, it's not going away. And there will always be games for people who have 1995 computers. So yeah, Invasion. Let's talk about. Anyways, so that is, by the way, the question of the week. How much data do you accept other, you know, companies gaining from you when you install their software? You know, how much is just enough and how much is too much? I think we can all agree Pokemon Go is too much.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, you might think, well, it's a way for them to get you to register with them, but apparently they've shut that down. So a lot of people don't have any other option except to log in via Go.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you, TJ, how much is too much? And don't answer Pokemon Go. I already said that.
Well, there should be a variable. There should certainly be a, like you said, most companies will have an idea, will give you an idea of like a little bit or a lot of what you're giving to them, and you have certain options that you can turn off or turn on as opposed for what you're doing. This is a case of either you give them nothing and you can't play the game all the way, or you give them 100%.
And yeah, I think that, looking for sexual predators, it's not going to work. Sexual predators are already on your other system of Niantic's, what's it called, Pokemon Trainers thing. They're already there. You know? And it's just how... I mean, I get, you know, people get mugged. They don't get kidnapped, or at least not yet with Pokemon Go. Oh, God, I can't wait for that news item. People getting kidnapped from Pokemon Go.
Ugh. I mean,
it's
yeah.
Fast approaching.
I'm hearing people nearly causing car accidents. I'm sure it'll be actual car accidents pretty soon. It's just getting ridiculous.
Well, you're playing a game while driving. Your car accident waiting to happen. I don't care what the game is.
Yeah.
But, Scott, what is too much for you?
Well, I know Jordan, like I said, having access to my Google account, because there's just so much in that account, that's way too much right there. Just, you know, like, I don't mind, again, the system specs and maybe my name and email, but that's about it right there.
Well, system specs is kind of silly because, you know, it's either you have this phone or you have this phone.
Oh, yeah, for phones, like, it's, yeah, there's no real need there. Because those all pretty much move pretty lockstep compared to computers. I can have the same computer for much longer than a phone.
With a cell phone, it's name, email, and yeah, you can post to Facebook.
Yeah. Or maybe, that's yeah, like, because sometimes if you want to do GPS, you have to do location, where
yeah,
you are.
You can assign from the options tab your entire cell phone. The programs don't even do that. You have to actually turn it on for them, so it's,
yeah.
You know, you are controlling that no matter what, and obviously you can't play Pokemon Go without your GPS anyway. So yeah, this is the last week of the contest, so for those of you who have not yet entered, this is the last chance to get swag. So I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's the NBA 2K17 code. There's the T-shirt. There's the loot crate. And there's other stuff in there. Oh, there's the Civ pen, Civ 6 pen. Scott, tell them how good the Civ 6 pen is.
It's very nice. It's very good quality. It's metal, so you know it's not the cheap plastic. It looks really nice too. You know, so it fits well in your hand. it's a nice pen. It's a very nice pen.
The journal is coming with it, which is just basically a book with blank pages, but I know that Scott really likes the journal. He's a journal person.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it's just kind of harkens back to my childhood when I would take notes, make maps, you know, just chart my journey with a video game, writing down codes or notes or whatever game I'm playing.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I was on the recent Polycast that was recorded over this weekend. Scott was not a part of it, but I was for this week, and we talked a lot about the builders, which have replaced the workers, and a lot of people on the podcast, not so much me, but the other people, have a few misgivings about that, you know, how's it going to be play balanced, and how's it going to affect how you build stuff, if, you know, it's just going to be three charges, you know, and all that stuff. So, Scott, what do you think of the builders in Civ 6 that are replacing the workers?
They're definitely going to change things up. I think it'll make it interesting and more strategic, because you might want to be a little more careful about it. Since you can build them so quickly, and you just, you know, plop it down and you got an improvement, you might want to think about what things you're putting down and do a little bit more planning, because you don't keep this guy around for centuries. He's going to only be there until you do the three things and he's gone. So you can't just change an improvement on the fly.
That's the one thing I like, is that, you know, those workers, they just hang around forever, and you don't always need them, but you might need them. So they're just sitting there on the map doing nothing until, oh, look, a free space. Go to that swamp. Come on, go quickly. Go.
Yeah, it is a lot like that, you know, on, like, slower speeds. The quicker speeds, you can tend to just have them sitting in your city until they're needed, you know, if a barbarian breaks something or whatever. So now you're going to have this guy that's only there for a short term of time. I'm not sure how pillaging is going to work yet, if you can just, if you have to build someone to fix that, or if you just fix it from your city. I do miss the city map, the city screen, though, because I liked going into the city, and now it's, I know it's going to feel a little weird not doing that, but it's definitely going to change some things, and it's like I need to play it in order to really be sure about the, you know, whether it's good or bad. So for right now, it's kind of like on the fence. Looking forward to it, though.
So, I have to get this up again. We do have listener feedback from Donovan. Diablo 3 lost my interest when the auction house was removed. That's kind of strange, because I remember a lot of people cheering when that happened. And the Critic was a good show. One of my favorites. And you get all, 18 episodes, 21 episodes in a single bundle. Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history article. If you enjoy your feedback, see us, comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Or also hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. And at the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. So yeah, this is a kind of a strange episode, because I'm outside and out and about for this one. So if you heard some city noises in the background, that was me.
Yeah, we heard a truck going by at some point. Or yeah, some other large vehicle, sounded like.
Yeah.
So we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Take it easy.